Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Hi there, welcome to Joyful Eating, episode 115, but our title today is 122 years old. So tune in to find out what that's all about. So before we get started, and I tell you what I'm talking about, the best bite I had, it was actually last night. Yesterday was a public holiday, and so my Irishman fired up the wood-fired pizza oven and made pizza, amazing pizza for the boys. And I'm not the biggest pizza fan, so I actually marinated some chicken thigh fillets that just really simply, it was like a couple of cloves of garlic and some chopped up rosemary, and I actually used macadamia oil, which a friend had given me, a bit of salt, marinated it, and then I put it in a roasting tray with some rosemary, like a heap of sprigs of rosemary at the bottom, and then just thighs on top. There were skin on thighs, popped it in the oven, and like in the pizza oven, super hot, so like a couple of minutes to cook, like it was really quick. And then they browned, and then I covered them with foil and cooked them again. And it was just like so much flavor, so tender, so delicious. I was just like, wow, like it's amazing, like how, I keep surprising myself all these years, how amazing like just simple flavors can be. And I just served them with some salad leaves, and I made a tomato salsa, like with using some roast tomatoes and sherry vinegar and some more of the macadamia oil and some roast macadamias and a couple bit of basil. And it was just so good. I just want to eat it again and again. Okay, so plan for today is I'm going to share the story behind. So the 122 years old is actually my goal. So I'm going to share the story behind this goal. And then why do I want to live to be 122? Sound kind of crazy. And then I'm going to share with you like how I'm approaching this goal and, you know, kind of all the things that I'm doing in terms of my health so that I'm setting myself up to live and be happy, active, and healthy for as long as I possibly can. And then I'm going to finish off with a bonus tip for you. So the story behind my crazy goal to live to be happy. So the official goal is that I write down in my journal. I don't write it every day at the moment, but I go through phases of being really focused on it and less focused. My official goal is I am happy, active, and healthy until I'm at least 122 years old. So the happy, active, and healthy totally go along with the being 122. I don't want to be a sick person who starts getting sick when they're 80 and is sick for 40 years. Like, that would not be fun. So there's definitely some parameters around this goal. We just don't want to live to be old for the sake of being old. Enjoy life on the way there. Why did I have this goal? Well, I guess I started thinking about it when my boys were little, like 7 and almost 10 now. And I just realized that, well, I didn't have children until I was in my 40s. And I was like, if they don't have children until they're in their 40s, I need to be 80 if I want to be a grandmother. I can't expect them to do it any earlier. Maybe they will. But I was like, okay, I need to live to be at least 80 to do that. And I really want to be a grandmother. Like, it's just one of my friends, I remember when she became a grandmother, she was telling me, she was like, Jules, she's like, I thought, you know, having family was great. I thought having a career was great. She's like, but being a grandmother is so special. She's like, it's so fun. She's like, you get to give them back and you get to have all the cuddles and it's all the fun stuff. So I was like, yeah, okay, I really want this. And I think that got me thinking about like how long, and I guess at the same time, also being interested in health and always reading about health, I've been becoming more aware of the like longevity community, and that there are researchers and brilliant minds that looking at this problem of aging and looking to solve and looking for ways for us to, as humans, as a species, to expand our health span, to live longer, healthier lives. And so I guess like learning about that, it was just like going, oh, okay, like maybe this is possible. And the other thing that played into this goal is that my mom actually died when she was 63, and I have no idea if this is related or not, but she was someone who was always lying about her age and always actively saying how she didn't want to be old. And I guess growing up with that, I guess it's impacted me in some way, like maybe like completely unrelated, like, you know, who knows, but our minds are very powerful and we get what we wish for. So I wish to be happy, active, and healthy until I'm at least 122. Why 122, you may ask? That's one thing that so many people ask, is like, well, Jules, why 122? A, it seems like a really long way away, but also the longest living human at the moment who, like that they have verified records of birth and death was a French lady who lived to be 122. So I was like, okay, well, if one human on the planet can do, one lady on the planet can do it, maybe this Australian lady can do it as well. Who knows? That's my goal. That's why. Let's talk now about how am I approaching this? And first of all, this isn't like serious. This isn't like this goal that I have that I'm going to be so disappointed if I don't achieve it. It's like a goal that I have, something to reach for, something to aim for, and something to direct my brain towards. And I think, like, great to have this goal now. You know, I've just turned 50, so it feels really spacious of like, oh yeah, like that's another 72 years. Amazing. So my approach to it is lighthearted. It's like, it's a little bit tongue in cheek. It's like, you know, if I don't live to be 122, it's like, it's not the end of the world. Like, yes, I want to be a grandmother. That would be amazing. But it's like this aspirational thing. It's not like I'm making it mean anything about myself. And sometimes when we set goals, we do it to prove something for ourselves. My business coach talks about like setting goals from a wound or setting goals from like a place of joy. And so this goal is definitely not something that I'm, you know, coming from a place of me needing to prove myself to the world or anything like that. It's coming from this place of joy and playfulness and fun. So that's the first approach to this goal. And then how am I actually going to do about it? So one of the things I do with my goals is I write them down, and there's like stats around this, research being done on this. I don't know all the details at the top of my head, but I know that, and I know for me, like if I'm serious about a goal and I write it down every day, it's way more likely to happen. So first thing that I'm doing with this goal is, and I mentioned before, like I'm not rigid on it, but when I have a habit of writing down my goals first thing in the morning, and I also write them down. I've got a notebook on the bedside table, so I write down my goals before I go to sleep as well. And so when I'm thinking about this goal, I like write, I'm happy, active and healthy until I'm at least 122. So I keep reminding myself that this is something that I want, and just having that in terms of like directing my desire and reminding myself, yeah, I want this. And then in terms of like the specifics of like what, you know, habits and what actual things, there's actually a whole heap of things that go into this. One of the things is my sleep. So that is, I think, a very important aspect of aging well, particularly for brain health, but for everything. And the French lady who lived to 122, when people asked her what her secret was, she was like, she slept a lot. So this is something that I've actually struggled with, insomnia. And if you are having problems with your sleep, definitely check out the episode that I did around counterintuitive ways to improve sleep. But yeah, just prioritizing sleep. So I have a ring where I track my sleep. So I'm checking in with how much sleep I'm getting. So I'm measuring it, because what gets measured gets improved. So that's one part of it. And then, you know, of course I've gone through phases of this, but focusing on that bedtime, because it can be so easy to, I'll just do this and stay up later and not give yourself that specific time in bed. So that's one thing I'm doing more and more, is prioritizing that and actually going, you know what, it's more important for me to go to bed on time than it is to get that washing folded or to wipe down the kitchen benches or whatever it is. And just really treating that bedtime like I would treat a meeting with when I'm coaching and my clients. If it's starting at 10 o'clock, I'm there at 10 o'clock. So I'm approaching my bedtime in the same way. Of course, I don't always stick to it, but that's something that I'm working on actively, is to like have that bedtime. And I find that the earlier I go to bed, better quality sleep I have, and that actually the longer I tend to stay asleep as well. It's kind of weird. Sleep is a huge, huge pillar that I'm working on. Strength and fitness is another one. And I actually just recently read Peter Attia's book called Outlive. And in that, his whole approach to longevity, he's like, building muscle is really key. Like fitness, exercise is so important. And he spends like most of the book talking about that. So after reading that, I've actually doubled the amount of workouts from 2 a week to 4 a week, where I actually am doing strength training, where I'm doing push-ups, where I'm lifting weights, where I'm doing squats and those types of things. And I also do kettlebell swings. So any, like, to build muscle is so, so key. And talking to, and actually, like, my dad's, you know, in his mid-80s now, and just when we're talking to people like in and geriatricians and people who work around the elderly, like, that's one of the things they say, is like, muscle is so, so important. So been upping my muscle, but also like the other part to fitness is like the aerobic exercise as well, like that. And so I run most days, and I do that more for mental health than anything else. Like I really notice the difference in my mood and my resilience and just how good I feel when I'm running. So the like building muscle and having some aerobic exercise for mental health, super important. And I've seen research around how important exercise is for preventing cognitive decline, like, and also for ameliorating like depression and anxiety. So like it really is so key. So that's another key thing. So the sleep, we've got the strength and exercise. The next thing is, and this isn't in any particular order, but another thing that's really important is relationships. And I was speaking to a geriatrician that I saw with my dad recently, and I was asking her like, what's important? And she said, relationships are so important. Like humans are social creatures. And she's like, it's way more important than what you eat. Like the people that feel connected. She was like saying, you know, the busybody, like little old ladies that are in everyone's business and telling people like matchmaking and doing all the things, like they have a good social network, tend to be the ones that do better regardless of their other habits, because loneliness is really like something that is not good for longevity. So I thought that was interesting. Another thing that I'm thinking about more and more is like my stress levels and looking for inner peace, like, and looking to get coaching and manage my mind around like my work and what projects I take on, knowing that, like, you know, I'm treating this as a marathon, so I don't have to do everything all at once. And I think in the past, I would put myself in situations where I would take on too many projects and I was feeling stressed. So that's something that probably room for improvement, of course, that I think is important. Yeah. And then in terms of brain health, I've got the exercise part for brain health, but also I've started learning French, or relearning French. I learned it at school. We've got a trip to Ireland and I'm hoping to go to Paris as well on that trip. And so like just getting into the habit of doing some language every day, because language is meant to be, like learning language is meant to be really amazing for brain health. I did used to use an app that was brain games, but I kind of got bored with that. And I think for me, learning a language where I am actually going to have it, it's going to be a practical application to it as well, is more fun. And I really love the Duolingo app. Like they make it really fun, and yeah, it's really interactive. And so that's what I'm doing for brain health. And then the last on the list here, nutrition. So you'd think like joyful eating that we'd be talking, and so many people focus on like foods for longevity, like what should we be eating? And really, as Peter Attia said, I think it's really not that important. Like nutrition is really way down the list, as long as you're getting enough protein to keep your muscle mass. So protein requirements increase as we age. That's one thing I'm really focusing on, is good quality protein, getting enough of it, and listening to my body. And of course, like, you know, eating vegetables, but not where I'm overeating or I stress myself out about not having enough vegetables or whatever. Like, yes, micronutrients are great. And yes, getting the fiber is good. But like, if it's going to stress you out, don't worry about it. It's not that important. And then finally, supplements. So there are a couple of supplements that I do take specifically for longevity. And that was after reading a book called Lifespan by Dr. David Sinclair. And so he takes resveratrol, which is an extract from grapes. So if you remember like the research around how red wine is meant to be beneficial for heart health, that's due to this compound called resveratrol. And the capsule that I take is like, it says on the bottle, on the pack, like this is like the same amount as resveratrol as if you were drinking 500 bottles of wine. So it's a lot of resveratrol there. I'm also taking metformin, which I mentioned recently, which is a diabetes medication to keep my blood sugar under control. So that's another supplement, or I guess it's not a supplement, that's a medication that I'm choosing to take, and that a lot of people in the longevity community do take, because it has like beneficial effects for heart disease and as well as diabetes. And that's something new that I've started adding. And then the other supplement I take is, I take a lot of fish oil, and I did do a whole episode on my supplements, so you're welcome to check that out. And the other thing that I take is NMN, which is, I can't remember what, nicotinamide mononucleotide, something like that. Anyway, that's another thing that David Sinclair had recommended in his book. He's a Harvard researcher who is
you know, all about longevity, and he takes that himself. So I've been taking that for a couple of years since I read his book, and who knows, it might be a waste of money, but yeah, I'm willing to experiment with myself. So yeah, so that's it. I know it seems like a lot, but like, and all these things that I'm doing for that longevity goal, they're also helping with my current health in the moment as well. Like none of those things are at the cost of my long-term health. So like anything that we do now for health is beneficial now. Like I'm getting the benefits of the exercise, I'm getting the benefits of the strength training now, as well as thinking about the future. So it is kind of fun that to have both goals. Okay, so that brings me to my bonus tip for you. So my bonus tip is like, I just want you to think about like, which you may never have considered, like if it was possible, like if you could wave a magic wand and anything was possible and you were able to be like one of those people who has a long health span where you're like, you're living into your old age, but you're not like those years of that where you are old, you're still active, you're still happy, you're still, you know, getting out and about and doing the things that you love. Like how old would you want to live? And just have a think about that and play around with it. And just, you know, you don't have to set a goal, but maybe it might be something you might want to do, and just start thinking about like, what's one thing that I could do to add, like making progress on that? Maybe it's reading a longevity book. Maybe it's like that Peter Attia book is really great, like getting you inspired. Or maybe it's like, yeah, you know what? I haven't been doing anything for strength training. Maybe that's something I want to add in, and like just start small. Okay, I hope you found this interesting. Like, let's be interesting in like 72 years to see, did Jules achieve a goal? Will YouTube still exist? Who knows? Will podcasting still exist? But yeah, I hope you have a fantastic week, and I will catch you next week. Bye.
Before you go, this is the best part. So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wah, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.